Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Yeah, baby. That's right, my minions. You have stumbled across the number one internet sports talk station in the world on Saturday morning between the hours of 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Eastern. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. And I am so glad that you could join us on a Saturday morning, my minions. As always, what we do every Saturday, we give you a full balance of sports from racing to basketball, to football, to college, and everything in between. If we can fit in some beer pong, we'll do that too as well. Well, happy Saturday to you. I hope everyone is having a great time out there shopping for presents. I'll make sure that my list is up on our website of the things that I want. No, I just want prosperity and world peace and all of that stuff, right? Well, welcome back to The Balance, my minions. Hey, we've got a great show for you today. I tell you, we're going to be talking some racing. We've got Kenny Barr from Radio Speed Talk standing by in the wings. He's going to be talking with us a little bit about the up-and-coming IndyCar season. Obviously, Indy 500 a part of that conversation as well. We're going to get into that. And, of course, anything that leads down the road as far as racing goes, myself and Kenny Barr got you covered. And then we're going to be jumping right into some college football. Guys, it doesn't get any better than the college football game today. That's right, Army, Navy. I tell you what, even if you're not a football fan, a college football fan, first of all, give me your man card. But even if you are not a college football fan, Army, Navy game, 3 o'clock today, be there. You need to pick a side. Myself, I'm picking Army. I'm hoping to have my son on as in the Marines. He always picks Navy. Fun rivalry game. Goes on every year. Makes you proud to be an American. So we're going to be talking about that game as well. And, of course, Elizabeth the Greek has picked all of her bowl games. So we're going to be talking about those during the college football segment. And then moving on in to the second hour, we got Ed Kratz from Calkins Media. Beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles is going to be joining us, talking with us about, well, no kickoffs? Well, that's what they're saying. We're going to talk about that later on and the tragedy last Saturday that unfortunately unfolded during our show here with the Kansas City Chiefs, and we're going to talk about that and the kind of the impact that that's had as well as fantasy football huddle and some NBA talk. So we got everything covered for you. There's no need for you to go anywhere else. Now, one thing I do want to take some time yesterday was Pearl Harbor Day. Just before 8 o'clock on the morning of December 7th, 1941, hundreds of Japanese fighter pilots attacked the American naval base at Pearl Harbor in Honolulu, Hawaii. The barrage lasted for 2 hours. It was devastating. The Japanese managed to destroy 20 American naval vessels, including 8 enormous battleships and almost 200 airplanes. More than 2,000 American soldiers and sailors died in the attack, and another 1,000 were wounded. The day after the assault, President Franklin D. Roosevelt asked Congress to declare war on Japan. Congress approved his declaration with just one dissenting vote. 3 days later, Japanese allies, Germany, and Italy also declared war on the United States. And again, Congress allowed that to happen. More than 2 years into the conflict, America had finally joined World War II. Well, we want to take some time to remember all of the veterans. Obviously, we're talking about Army, Navy. We talk about the military on here quite often, and we support the military. But, you know, I was at the grocery store last Saturday. I think it was last Saturday. And I saw this elderly man get out of his vehicle, you know, trembling, hard to walk, wearing a hat that said World War II veteran. You know, it makes you think about your grandpa. And, you know, we think about 9/11. The generations past, their 9/11 was Pearl Harbor. We should always take time to remember that, and we do that here at The Balance. And we thank everyone who fought in World War II, and we remember you. December 7th, 1941, always a part of history and will always be remembered here at The Balance. Well, guys, we're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to jump right into some racing with Kenny Barr from Radio Speed Talk. Be right back.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
When I walk on by, girls be looking like Debbie Fly.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. It's time to get things going right here on the wings, waiting in the wings, Mr. Kenny Barr from Radio Speed Talk. Going to be talking about everything that appeals to your racing palate. Mr. Kenny Barr, welcome to The Balance. I hear you're up to the headed up to the Windy City. How's the drive going, sir?
Well, the fog's lifted. We just passed the ML Motorsports Nationwide Series Racing Complex about 2-3 minutes ago, and we can see where we're going. Due west, young man, we're going to go see Vicky and Eric. Eric's my son. Vicky was on the show. She's a family pharmacist.
Sure.
And we're going to go abuse Michigan Avenue for a day.
Well, I tell you what, it's always fun to go up there to Chicago. You're going to take some time to go down to Navy Pier today?
I really don't know. I think the day or the next 2 days are pretty choreographed, so I'm going wherever they shoot me and drag me around.
Well, you know, that's the life of a father and a husband and the president of the United States. So, you know, I totally understand. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in racing. Obviously, one of the latest breaking news from IndyCar, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. IndyCar says goodbye to Lotus. Obviously, no big surprise there. And according to IndyCar, Lotus made a business decision that they will not return to IndyCar. I think it was quite the other way around. I want to get your thoughts on the impact, if any impact at all, that Lotus not being a part of IndyCar in 2013 has your thoughts on that.
No impact at all. Next question, please. Okay. They didn't do anything. I mean, they didn't create any horsepower. They didn't show up with any motors hardly. What they didn't have was just terrible, and they just didn't make the commitment. And maybe they didn't realize what kind of commitment it is to be competitive in IndyCar. It'd have been cool. You know, anybody who comes in with another idea or another way for guys to race that isn't the same old, it's not a bad thing. So I'm kind of pulling for them in an underdog sort of way. But Lotus leaving IndyCar is no real big deal.
Well, we look at what happened with the Indianapolis 500 last year. I think we had two entries with the Lotus engine, and miraculously they were they took a couple laps and that was it, and they were parked. We saw that to be the beginning of the end. Do you think one has anything to do with the other?
Sure. Sure, they're probably afraid they're going to explode. They didn't want to be competitive. They knew they probably weren't going to be durable. Go out and do the old classic start and park and, you know, get your money for starting a race and help fill the field, because they were struggling a little bit getting 33 cars last year. So I think the Lotuses were way, way down on power. So they did Indy a favor and helped fill 33, but that's about all they really accomplished there.
Well, let me ask you that, and that brings up a very important question as we bring into the conversation of the Indianapolis 500 coming up in 2013. Obviously, the huge Super Bowl of IndyCar, basically the symbol of racing season beginning again, yet again, as far as on the IndyCar side. How important is 33 cars actually in the Indianapolis 500? Why is that such an important magic number?
I don't know that it is, other than tradition. I think you can have just as good a race with 26 or 31 or however many cars can actually get there and qualify and be competitive. The only reason they have 33 is because they don't have 34 or 32. I mean, that's purely tradition in my eyes.
Well, we move on to the Indianapolis 500 2013. Obviously, one of the latest rumors apparently has been squashed, or maybe they just couldn't come up to an agreement. Maybe Danica wouldn't let him do it. But Smoke, three-time sprint car champion Tony Stewart, was offered a ride in the Indianapolis 500 by Roger Penske. All indications had thought that we would see that happen and see him do the double. And he's declined that. Let's talk about that. Let's break that down. Why would Tony Stewart decline racing for Penske? And let's face it, there was a lot of partnerships already in place. It was a great opportunity for this sport. It was a great opportunity for him. It was a great opportunity for his sponsors. Why would he turn that down?
Probably because of the fact that he's got ownership in NASCAR now, and he owns his NASCAR team, as opposed to when he did do the double. He did not, and he had permission from Joe Gibbs, and he's got a lot more responsibilities now than he had before. I think that would have far and away been the best storyline, at least for me personally, in the month of May, if he was doing the double. I had read where the Speedway officials had even offered to move the race forward an hour in order to possibly get him to do the double. Now, I'm going to give credit where credit is due, and you're going to have to tune into Radio Speed Talk for all the details this weekend.
Is that what they call a teaser?
Yeah, well, I hope so.
Go ahead,
man. I'm going to do that a little bit. But Tom Wolf came up with a great idea. He said, instead of just Tony Stewart, why don't they somebody pool together a big pile of money, say throw together $1 million, and have a side pot or a side bet like you do in Vegas for anybody who does this double. And there's plenty of people who've ran NASCAR and ran into. You got Sam Hornish. You got Alex Zanardi tried it a while. Patrick Carpentier. Cliff's new girlfriend, Danica Patrick. You got, of course, Tony Stewart. And I'm sure there's two or three others that I don't remember off the top of my head. But that would be kind of an interesting little side race and sidebar in and of itself. Anybody could do the double and maybe pay a big pile of money for the best average finish. I know there's a ton of logistics that have to be in place to get that done, but that certainly would spice up both Indy and the NASCAR show and give fans a little more reason to tune in or show up or do whatever they want them to do.
Well, obviously, Tony, one of Tony's biggest reasons, at least according to his official PR press release, was as much, and I'm quoting here from that press release here, as much as I would like to do it, we just don't have the time to properly do it. And Tony Stewart went on to say the IRL is so competitive right now, you're not just going to show up like drivers used to in the past and be competitive. These guys don't leave anything on the table there. You're not going to just stroll into the Indianapolis 500 with these guys who race every week and be as competitive as they are. This comes from a guy in his best finish ever in the Indianapolis 500 was fifth, and that was back in 1997. So these guys don't do the daily double to win. They do the daily double for maybe money, for prestige, for sponsorships. But they don't do it to win. Am I correct on that?
Well, I would. I can't imagine Tony Stewart not wanting to do it to win and win them both. John Andretti is another name that just popped into my head. But, I suppose you can lean on that a little bit. Sponsorships would probably love him to do it, but I can't imagine any true racer like a Tony Stewart not wanting to go in there. Wouldn't that be the coup of all coups, winning both Indianapolis 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 or whatever they call the 600 nowadays?
Well, to my knowledge, it's never been done. And you were talking about some other names and some other possibilities. Obviously, we talked about Danny Kilpatrick, and you mentioned John Andretti, and you and I talked about Pablo.
Juan Pablo Montoya.
Yeah, Juan Pablo. Yes, and I. And Robbie Gordon, there's another guy that is a who you could think of. So let's talk about that with Penske and his empty seat and it kind of merges into a Danica Patrick conversation that we'd love to have on this show so much, because Danica just infiltrates every show that's out there. Everybody goes to Danica, but we're going to have to go to her because it does play to this conversation. And obviously, what I'm talking about is the GoDaddy car with Indianapolis 500. Does Hinchcliffe get pulled out of the GoDaddy car? To me, that's a big, big mistake. To me, that's a slap in James Hinchcliffe's face. I'm not saying that because I know James. He's a good guy. He's a friend of mine, and I'm a deep, deep fan of James Hinchcliffe. I'm not saying that for that reason, but I can't think of any other reason outside of money and maybe outside of the draw that they would pull James Hinchcliffe out of the GoDaddy car and put Danica in there for that Indianapolis 500 race. I think that's a huge mistake. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's an easy fix. You get two cars. I mean, everybody's got a backup car anyway. You know, how many times have you seen A.J. Foyt go grab a backup car and beautify it for somebody and let them try to qualify on the second day of qualifying, or back in history, second weekend of qualifying, and get a hold of somebody who's marching around the garage with his helmet in his hand looking for a ride. So, no, you can leave Hinchcliffe absolutely where he's at, because he's probably going to win the thing this year. But how's that for confidence, huh? I really think you've got a good chance. And then put her in a number 11 or something or whatever is available. And you can graphic up a car anytime overnight, you know, with these guys who do wraps and stuff. So you can go, you can maybe put a gold mommy car out there. I don't know what you want to do, but I think it would be a relatively easy thing to do, and you leave Hinchcliffe right where he's at.
Well, of course, now we go back to bringing up Tony Stewart again. Obviously, Danica races for Tony Stewart and probably does other things for Tony Stewart, but
like personal appearances and promotes the race.
Oh, you know, I don't know. Maybe they go out to dinner. Maybe they have their own little alone time. You know, we all know the rumor that's out there. We pony dance around it. Tony Stewart and Danica Patrick are dating. They're couples. They're, you know, and that's just a rumor. Well, it's job security for Danica, and let's face it, Tony gets to walk around and say, yeah, I really do have a trophy wife at this point. But does Tony allow Danica to race in to do the double? I guess that's really the ultimate thing of what we're talking about. Would Tony allow Danica to do that? Does he think that it would be a big distraction for his team? And then going back to his statement in his press release, you don't just stroll in there and do it. So I think you nailed it on the head there, Kenny, that the reason that Tony isn't running is simply because him being the owner. But I'm going to send my driver/girlfriend to the Indianapolis 500 to do the double. That's completely okay. Thoughts on that?
Well, you could do that. I don't see why not. He did it. So, you know, if he wouldn't let her do it, if the logistics fell into place, you could call that somewhat hypocritical. And you got to be able to use it for leverage financially. I still think it'd be cool to have anybody do it. We're kind of hoping that they're not dating, though, because we're trying to still hook up Mr. Cliff Tanner with Danica Patrick, because we can use the extra PR on the
Hey,
talk.
Hey, I tell you what, the balance will go in on that sweepstakes with you. If all I'm saying is if you make that happen, if Danica and Cliff get to go out on a date, We get to wire him up with microphones. We get to follow him around with cameras. And we get to break the story right here on Speed Talk and on The Balance that Cliff Tanner and Danica Patrick are a couple.
Well, we have to turn that into a reality TV show, maybe a one-off. I think we can work on that.
We could see Cliff standing out there during the national anthem next to Danica Patrick. We could see that. I mean, that's not a stretch, huh? Come on.
Yeah, Cliff's about 6'1", 6'2", and Danica's about 5'4", so I'd have to put her on a box just to get her about chest high to Cliff.
Is Cliff really that tall? I had no idea.
Yeah, he's pretty close.
I think he's shorter than me. I'm 6'1". Well, everybody,
I don't have a man crush on a lot of people, so I don't really know for sure. But yeah, I look at him pretty much eye to eye, and I'm 6'1¾", according to my doctor this week. So he's up there pretty well.
We'll keep you in tune, and we'll run a contest on that as. We'll jump in on that contest. But, you know, I could care less if Tony Stewart and Danica Patrick are dating. I mean, that really doesn't matter to me at all whatsoever. We have a little funny ha-has to talk about it. But at the end of the day, if there are two, and you take away a lot of people not liking Danica for whatever reason, and you take away her marketing stuff, really on the racetrack, those two minds together are really two great racing minds. Obviously, Danica's been able to position herself to do very well to have never won a race. So all I can say is you take the marketing capabilities of Danica and you mix that with the pure genius and ability to race and win and to get out there and win races, and you put them together on one team. I'm looking for great success out of Danica this year in NASCAR. And a lot of people, and I think maybe you included, certainly you guys have talked about it on Speed Talk, that it's not the time for her to go up to NASCAR, but I think we've got a winning combination there.
Well, I couldn't disagree with you more. I really don't think she's going to make it more than a year in NASCAR, because these cars are so much different than even the nationwide cars. They're heavier. They got more horsepower. They're running on the same tires. And she struggled an awful lot on tracks that you just didn't dump the throttle and then wiggle the steering wheel a little bit. You go to Daytona, you go to Talladega, where you just run it wide open and turn the wheel. She did pretty well. And that's exactly what you do in IndyCar a large majority of the time. When you get on anything that you got to lift, worry about your acceleration rates and braking points, spinning the tires and things of that nature, she struggled mightily. She needs another season or two in nationwide to get a feel for those cars before she moves up to something with more horsepower, more weight with the same situation. So she's going to have an awful time of it. She'll do okay at Daytona. She'll do okay at Talladega. There'll be a few tracks that she might get a little bit better on. I think she's okay on road courses, actually. Too, she's done pretty well in the nationwide car and the road courses till bumped her in Montreal and made a mess. She's running about sixth close to the end of the race. But I really, I could be crazy, but I just don't see that happening. You've seen so many people take so long to get better at the NASCAR level that got moved up too quickly. Joey Logano is one of them. He is probably just now ready to move up to the Cup, but they put him in there too quick. He got the nationwide cars figured out. He ran, won 8 races, I think, at nationwide level this year. Sam Hornish Jr. is another one who is a terrific racer, obviously won Indianapolis Motor Speedway's big show a couple of times, and drove for Penske, so he's no stranger to great organizations and great racing. The Defiance Ohio native struggled in the Cup. They threw him in there too early, put him back down on nationwide, and look what he started to do there. And then he was driving some of the Cup cars, and you could see him slowly improving week after week and stuff. So it really is a graduated process. Very few people could jump in a Cup car and just make them go. Matter of fact, I don't think that I think with my pea little brain this morning over the horizon of all the drivers that I think might be able to do that right now, and I don't think there really is one that you can just grab out of another series throw him in and say, "Here, go," and we'll see how well you do. It just wouldn't be a top ten at all. So you got to learn how to wrestle these monsters around a little bit, and it's a learning curve. And she just hasn't completed the preliminary classes yet.
Well, let me ask you this, and you made a comment there that sticks out to me. What you said was, I don't look for Danica to last longer than a year. So if what you're saying is true, at the end of the 2013 series, come October, November next year, if she doesn't finish where in blank, Danica is done with NASCAR. Fill in the blank there.
You mean as far as standing-wise? Or?
Yeah, what you said that you don't think she'll last longer than a year. What dictates, when you say won't last longer than a year, are you saying that if she's not to a certain point within a year's time, she won't be racing in NASCAR? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there's a couple of factors that I used to kind of make that decision. One was about a month ago, and now GoDaddy's backed up a little bit on this statement, but her... Oh, golly, they have a scale, the advertisers of the world, the big money people will have a scale about a pitch person's likability. And hers has dropped about 25 to 30% since she first burst on the scene and started doing all those sexy GoDaddy commercials. For a while, they weren't even going to have her on the Super Bowl for the first time in about 10 years. So her marketability, in their eyes anyway, is starting to slip, starting to go south. NASCAR's move there. I don't think I've seen her in a new commercial in quite a while. And I can just see that if her commercial value continues to slip down, GoDaddy will take another, raise another eyebrow and say, hey, should we be throwing $20 million at this whole deal and we could be spending our money in another way? GoDaddy has also announced that they're going to try and get away from some of that style of advertising, go to a more professional level, which means they're kind of changing their theory and their marketing ideas. So I'm beginning to wonder if their checkbook's even going to be around for more than a year. I don't know what kind of contract they signed with Stuart Haas Racing. Stuart Haas? Yeah. What a fool. Stuart Haas Racing.
Well, yeah, we all know what you think about Tony Stewart. Now, smoke doesn't mean that all you see is his smoke going past you. Smoke means that Tony Stewart is smoking hot, right? We know now that who you have a man crush on.
Yeah, you betcha, pal. I'm gonna take your man crush to Melvin.
Well, hey, we got just a few more minutes left here in the racing portion of the show. Obviously, we invite you to stay along with us here in the college football. We're going to talk about the Army-Navy game, and we're also going to talk about the bowl picks that Elizabeth the Greek has made. But I want to talk a little bit about IndyCar again. Obviously, one of the highlights of their schedule and a race I'm pretty excited to see, and actually maybe I'm even going to actually try to attend, is Pocono, the return to the Pocono race. Obviously, the institution of a Triple Crown Award, the Izod IndyCar Series, did release its 2013 schedule. Obviously, we look at Pocono, and that to me is a huge addition to the IndyCar series. And I think once again, with St. Petersburg, and we'll close out the season, I'm sorry, with a 500-mile event out in the Auto Club Speedway, I tell you what, there's just a lot of great natural road courses. I guess that's where I'm getting at with you, because I like IndyCar on road courses. As a fan, maybe, and as a media guy, you only get to see blurps of it, unless you have a lot of energy and a lot better shape than I am and able to walk that track. But what I am going to say is that the return to Pocono for IndyCar is a huge, huge thing.
Yeah, I think that's cool, too. Pocono in and of itself presents some unique challenges. It's got the longest straightaway in the NASCAR circuit by far, and it's got three corners that you have to set up the car three completely different ways. So you kind of have to decide your race strategy long before you even hit the track, whether you want to get through one well, two well, or three well, and how you're going to gear the car. Are you going to let the R's go a little bit higher and hope the motor stays together? Are you going to not rev the motor up quite as much and not have as much acceleration rate off the corner and try to out-blast the guys, be a little bit more durable? There's a lot more thinking involved in racing the Pocono. You know, you see the NASCAR guys, some of them shift, some of them don't. And then that's all just how they decide to drive the track and how they're going to run their race and stuff. So I think IndyCar's a Pocono. It's going to be one of those, I don't think I can get there, but I can certainly dial up that old cable box and see where they're at and watch it unfold.
Well, you're more than welcome to ride down there with me. We could be down there in a sweet 8 hours from Indianapolis, so it's not a bad drive. Maybe less than that.
About 3 minutes from my bathroom to the couch, too. That's the first
thing I did. I remember we were up in Michigan, you and I and Cliff and everybody, obviously, and remember we had that big rainstorm that pushed the start of that Michigan race. It was the one that Dale Jr. won, all the way back by about 2 or 3 hours. And you said we were standing there in the media center, and you said, you know what, by the time I get home, I'll have the best seat in the house. I don't know. Did you end up staying around and waiting for that race, or did you go ahead and head on out?
No, we flipped on the XM radio and listened to Claire B. Lang talk for 2 hours. When we got home, it was in the lap number 10. So it was a race from home. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't think they were really going to pull it off, because, man, it was raining bats and rats that day. Everything was soaking wet. It was a heck of a day for God to decide to try to break the drought in Michigan when we're all there trying to do a race. But, you know, his timing is his timing.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, Giddy, real quickly, where can people, what's coming up tomorrow? Well, obviously, we're going to be airing Radio Speed Talk right here on the Balance Radio Network tomorrow, immediately following the Colts game. So it's real easy. As soon as the Colts game's over, go to your laptop or your radio and tune in for Radio Speed Talk. And what's going on Radio Speed Talk tomorrow?
Well, we're going to stick around the racing banquets. Why are they so long? Why are they such a love stuff? And we took down the IndyCar idea a little bit. I think the most segment is my research didn't get completed because I couldn't find what I was looking for. But we opened up the floor, and I opened up the listeners too. We didn't know as a collective group, I got to get the name right here, kid that runs a race down in the Snowball Derby. I got it wrong to begin with. They laughed at me. Kyle Benjamin is the great grandson of Big Bill France Sr., which we never know that. Now, Kyle Benjamin's a 14-year-old hot shoe that a lot of people probably don't know about, but you will, because he's very good and he's very fast, and he doesn't even have a driver's license, and he's out beating the likes of the Kyle Busches of the world on short tracks here and there. So we found that lineage to be quite interesting, actually. So we threw up a call to our Speed Talk race fans that if you know of any other lineages like that, let us know, because it's kind of a neat thing, like Ancestry.com for the racing world.
Well, I tell you what, I agree with you. I love to see racing families and to see how that lineage happens, and I'm excited to hear your show. Well, we got to get to a break, Kenny. We'll come back. We're going to talk some college football. We're going to talk about that Army-Navy game, the biggest college game of the day, as well as we're going to break down Elizabeth the Greek's bowl picks. Are you in for a little bit with us? Because all you're doing is driving anyway.
I'm not even driving. I'm riding along my bride's hustling on the highway. My youngest is still sleeping. I don't think we're going to roust him out of bed today. So,
that's cool. All right. Well, the next time you take a road trip on that, let me know. I'll set you up with the El Presidente presidential motorcade. You can do that. You can borrow my plane. Anything you need, buddy. Anything I could do to make your life easier.
We're already hanging out at the Trump Towers today. I don't know how much. Much better than that. So.
Well, let me call. I'll call Don here in just a few moments during the break. I'll call him, and he'll make sure that he stops down and has lunch with you today. How's that sound?
That sounds good. As long as he's fine.
All right, we've got to take a break, guys. We'll be right back. We're going to jump right into the college football segment right here on the Balance Radio Network.
And I'm already running late. There's a list of things long as my arm I won't.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley, Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. a distributor for all major suppliers. We can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Dick. Stay tuned. My predictions are coming up right here on The Balance Online with the host, Tom Keith.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm trying to produce a Christmas special that makes this A Wonderful Life look like Pulp Fiction.
It's time for...
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to...
The Elizabeth Scott.
You're not going to spoil my Christmas.
Well, Elizabeth, you had a rough week again last week, going 5-5. Could have went 6-4, but a couple of them games you just missed. Just missed the SEC championship by 4 seconds. You also missed Monday Night Football by just a little bit. So before we get into your annual College Bowl pick schedule, you're going to pick all 35 games. Let's pick this Saturday's tradition, and that is the Army-Navy game. In the Army-Navy game, do you pick Naval Academy or the Army?
Army.
Okay, we are going with that. Let's move on to your bowl list. It's a long one. Starting off, first one is going to be the New Mexico Bowl, played in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Do you go with Nevada or Arizona?
Nevada.
Next, we have the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, played in Boise, Idaho. Do you go with Toledo or Utah State?
Toledo.
Next one, moving up, we've got the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl, played in San Diego, California. Do you go with BYU or San Diego State?
San Diego State.
Next one, the Beef O'Brady's, the St. Petersburg Bowl, played in St. Petersburg, Florida. Do you go with the University of Central Florida or Ball State?
Ball State.
Ball State. Next one is the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, played in New Orleans, Louisiana. Do you go with East Carolina or Louisiana Lafayette?
Carolina.
East Carolina. Next one, the Mako Bowl, Las Vegas, that's played in Las Vegas, Nevada. Do you go with Washington or Boise State?
Boise State.
Boise State. Next one, the Sheridan Hawaii Bowl, played in Honolulu, Hawaii. Do you go with Fresno State or SMU?
Fresno State.
Next one, we move up to Detroit, Michigan for the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl. Do you go with Western Kentucky or Central Michigan?
Central Michigan.
Central Michigan. We've got the Military Bowl in Washington, D.C. There's San Jose State or Bowling Green?
Bowling Green.
Bowling Green. Next on the list, we go to Charlotte, North Carolina for the Belk Bowl. Do you go with Cincinnati or Duke?
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. We have next the Bridgepoint Education Holiday Bowl in San Diego, California. There's Baylor and UCLA. Who do you go with?
UCLA.
UCLA. We have the Advocare V100 Independence Bowl, played in Shreveport, Louisiana. Do you go with Ohio or Louisiana Monroe?
Louisiana Monroe.
Louisiana Monroe. Next one is the Russell Athletic Bowl, played in Orlando, Florida. Rutgers or Virginia Tech?
Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech. Next, on to Houston, Texas, where we have the Meineke Car Care Bowl. Do you go with Minnesota or Texas Tech?
Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. Bell Helicopters Armed Forces Bowl. Is your choice going to be Rice or the Air Force Academy?
Rice.
Rice. On to the Bronx, New York, Yankee Stadium, New Era Pinstripe Bowl. Do you go with West Virginia or Syracuse?
Syracuse.
Syracuse. Back to the West Coast. This time in San Francisco, we have the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl. Do you go with the Naval Academy or Arizona State?
Arizona State.
Arizona State. The Valero Alamo Bowl played in San Antonio, Texas. Do you go with the University of Texas or Oregon State?
No, Daddy, I'm going to go with Texas.
Texas it is, okay. The Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl played in Tempe, Arizona. Do you go with TCU or Michigan State?
TCU.
TCU it is. Heading to the state of Tennessee, Nashville to be exact. We got the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. Do you go with North Carolina State or Vanderbilt?
Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt. El Paso, Texas is our next one. The Hyundai Sun Bowl. Do you go with USC or Georgia Tech?
Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech. Back to Tennessee, we've got Memphis to be right just down the road from Nashville. We've got the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Do you go with Iowa State or Tulsa?
Tulsa!
Tulsa, it is. The Chick-fil-A Bowl in Atlanta, Georgia sees LSU versus Clemson. Who do you pick?
LSU.
It's LSU, not LS Clue.
LSU.
LSU it is. The TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, Florida sees Mississippi State versus Northwestern. Who do you go with?
Northwestern.
Back to Texas once again. Heart of Dallas Bowl in Dallas, Texas sees Purdue versus Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. Tampa, Florida for the Outback Bowl has South Carolina versus Michigan.
Michigan.
You're going with Michigan. Staying in the state of Florida, just down the road, in Orlando has the Capital One Bowl, and that's going to be Georgia versus Nebraska.
Georgia.
Then we got the queen of them all, Pasadena, California. The Rose Bowl, presented by Vizio, sees the winner of the Big Ten. Wisconsin versus the winner of the Pac-12, Stanford. Who do you go with?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Miami, Florida. We have the Discover Orange Bowl. We have Northern Illinois versus Florida State.
Northern Illinois.
We've got Northern Illinois you pick. On to New Orleans, the All-State Sugar Bowl, Louisville or Florida?
Louisville.
In Glendale, Arizona, we see the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl has Oregon versus Kansas State.
Kansas State.
The AT&T Cotton Bowl in Arlington, Texas, we've got Texas A&M versus Oklahoma. And let's see, moving down to Birmingham, Alabama, the BBVA Compass Bowl has Pittsburgh versus Ole Miss. Down the road in Mobile, Alabama, we've got the GoDaddy.com Bowl has Kent State versus Arkansas State. And finally, the one for all the marbles. Miami, Florida, January 7th, 8:30 is the time. The Discover BCS National Championship game has Notre Dame versus Alabama. Who do you pick?
Notre Dame! Go Irish! Go Irish! Go Irish! Go Irish! Go Irish!
Okay, so let me get this straight. You're picking Notre Dame in the Discover BCS National Championship game. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're correct.
All right, who picked all those games?
Elizabeth the Greek! Remember to like me on Facebook, facebook.com/Elizabeth the Greek.
to the ground.
All right, all right, all right. We're back. We're back. You know what happens when you turn on the mic. All right, Jimmy, are you with us?
I'm here, Tom. What's going on?
What's going on, Kitty? Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You will not believe what just happened here. We went out of Elizabeth the Greek. I went into this whole big dialogue how it was longer than usual because she was picking all the bowl games, and I went to Jimmy and I said, Jimmy's not there. Kenny's not there, but I see them lit up on my board. We'll try to get them back, and I begin to talk. And Michelle lets me know you need to turn on your mic. So that's what happened. It was not you guys. It was totally me. I'm good for that about once a week, guys. I have yet to figure out how to work my microphone. That's Radio 101. You always turn on your microphone before you talk. But that was an extended break, so, you know, I had to drink some coffee and watch SportsCenter here and listen to Elizabeth the Greek in my ears. Well, I just forgot to turn on the mic again. So it's all good. We move forward. So we want to talk about a few things in college football segment today, and we played Elizabeth Greek by intention at the beginning of this segment because she picked all 35 bowls, and we don't have time, obviously, to go through all of those, but there's two things I want to touch on today. One, being the biggest college game of all time, you throw out all record books, nothing else matters right now because neither one of these teams are really what we would break down in our normal college football segment, but we've got to break down Army-Navy. So we're going to start with the Army-Navy game today. Obviously, a huge, huge tradition. Jimmy, we're going to start with you. What are your thoughts on the Army-Navy game from the pure, hey, this is a football game perspective?
Well, from a football perspective, Navy's got a really strong running game. They've had a decent season. They're a lot more experienced, I think, in success against their opponent than Army is. So there's a lot to like about Navy's chances, but like they always say in rivalry games, you can throw whatever out and forget about the scoreboard when these two teams play each other. That being said, I do have an uncle who went to Navy, so I'm a little biased in one direction, so you might hear me putting out the Go Navy Beat Army chant at the very end of the show.
Hey, you know what? I'm all for that, buddy. Me and my son have a little friendly rivalry going on as well, and we're going to coming up here at 10 o'clock. Ed Kratz from Calkins Media, his son is actually trying to get into West Point, but my son is in the Marines, which is a division of the Navy. So I root for Army, he roots for Navy. Kitty, what are your thoughts? Army, Navy?
Well, got to be Army. I was son-in-law in the military down at Fort Hood. If I didn't root for the Army, he'd greet me with a business end of an M16. So I have no choice. Besides, my brother-in-law was in the Navy, and he's on my dirt list right now. So I'm hoping Army just smashes Navy.
Well, I do too, and as we were listening to Elizabeth the Greek, she actually picked Army, and that's a great pick. I tell you what, though, Army's last win in the series came back in 2001 at Veterans Stadium, and in 10 years since, counting seven games at the link, and won each at the Giant Stadium in over there in East Rutherford, and M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, in the FedEx field in Landover, Maryland. The Black Knights have been outscored by an average of 23.7 points. So let's break this down. Obviously, we know that these guys are, for those of you that do not know, the Army, Navy are made up of students that go to these particular military academies. They are actual enlisted officer candidates for the U.S. military. Their whole job and function is to defend our country. Football comes second, and they're a very, very disciplined bunch of team and fans. And if you've never seen the Army-Navy game, and you see just a flood military personnel. It does make you proud to be an American. So football does come second to them. But, Jimmy, I ask you, what does Army have to do to beat Navy? What does Army have to do to break this streak against Navy?
Well, they've got to outperform their usual standard of play, quite frankly, because Army has not been nearly as successful as Navy in recent years. I'm not exactly sure what's gone into that because, you know, Navy and Army back in the World War II days were both really successful football programs. It makes sense why, of course, with the draft and everything going on and people being way more patriotic than they had been before and enlisting in greater numbers. But in the recent seasons, Navy has had a consistently good football team that can beat other real teams. We saw them beat IU earlier this year in a game that IU played decently at Navy. So I'm going to be keeping a close eye on Army in this game because their standard of play this season just has not been the same as Navy's. They're going to have to play above and beyond their normal expectations, and Navy is probably going to have to make a couple of mistakes.
Kenny, what are your thoughts on the Army-Navy game? What does Army have to do? We talked about how much we'd like to see Army win this game. Obviously, this would be a huge win for Army. And a win today would mean so much more for the 2-9, especially its seniors, than breaking a streak. It would earn the Black Knights, the Commander-in-Chief's trophy, presented to the team with the best record in the game among Army, Navy, Air Force. Both Army and Navy defeated the Falcons this season. The Army has not won the Commander-in-Chief trophy since 1996. So what does the Army have to do to get their hands on that trophy today, Kenny?
Well, they have to do two things. One is a little bit facetious. I think if they can get the Navy guys to start reading the maps that are built into the uniforms, that's one of the coolest munis that they got. They put the map of Normandy and various battlefields inside the numbers of the uniforms. That is really, really a neat touch. That being facetious, basically it's motivation. And I will point to one game last week that everybody thought was an absolute farce, Wisconsin blowing out Nebraska, and everybody said Wisconsin shouldn't be there. The only reason Wisconsin whipped them, they were motivated. You get guys that want to win and want to play and want to prove a point, they go out there and just pound somebody. Well, Wisconsin won 62-10. Everybody said they shouldn't even be in the place. So if they can figure out how to get them guys motivated and want to spend 3 hours smashing the Navy boys, they can get her done.
Well, it is going to be an exciting win for either one. We got to move on, but let's get our official picks. We'll start with you, Jimmy. Army or Navy?
Go, Navy. Beat Army. Navy prevails.
All right, Kitty, I think we know what your thought is going to be on this, but your official pick would be?
The Army all the way, baby.
And I'm going with the Army, the Black Knights. That's right. I was in the Army myself. My son is currently in the Marines. I know my son. I'm going to take his pick for him. He was supposed to call in today during this conversation, and maybe he's apparently got delayed. I do know he's working today. He's in the Marines. Congratulations to my son who made sergeant this past week, and he was kind of nervous about that. He calls me up and he says, "Well, Dad, I didn't make it, you know." And I was trying to be, you know, I got my encouraging hat on. You know, that's okay. You'll have other opportunities. And he goes, "Nah, I'm just razzing with you. I passed it." And so he's now a sergeant in the U.S. Marines, and I'm very proud of him as well. Well, obviously, Navy has won the last 10 straight games, including last year's 27-21 victory out in Maryland, and they lead the series 56-49-7. Betting line, if you're a betting man, which no military people should be betting on another military person, but if you are doing that, Navy by 7, that's what they say. The March on Brigade by the Midshipmen begins at 12:16, followed by the March on Corps and Cadets at 12:46, and the actual game starts at 3 o'clock. And guys, I tell you what, this is a live coverage. They go to this. This is how huge this is. If you've never seen the march on by the midshipmen into this game, it is absolutely an incredible sight. So make sure you check that out today. Army, Navy, game, obviously going to be on, I believe, CBS. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's who's carrying the game. All right, let's go on to some of these other college football bowl games. Obviously, we don't have time for all of the bowl games because everybody does have a bowl game. But let's talk about this national championship. Obviously, Notre Dame being in it. Obviously, Notre Dame here from Indiana. First time they've been to the national championship title in a long time. So let's look at this situation. Notre Dame, Alabama. What are your thoughts, Jimmy?
Well, I'm going to keep an eye on two main players for Notre Dame in this game, Theo Riddick and Tyler Eifert, because the Alabama defense, the linebackers and the safeties and the second and third level of that defense, they've struggled in pass coverage this year, and those are the two most dangerous pass catchers of their positions, I believe, in the country. So if Everett Golson can buy time and beat his individual defenders in the backfield, and if his offensive line can keep him upright, I think we're looking at a great opportunity for Notre Dame to create mismatches with Eifert and Golson down the field. It should be an exciting game, and I think it's one that's going to be low scoring. I think Notre Dame is going to have difficulty moving the ball on the ground on Alabama's defense, and I think Bama will have the same issue against Notre Dame getting the ball in the end zone. It should be a pretty good game.
So let me ask you this, Kenny. I know you were involved in this mass texting scenario that we had going on between everybody when Georgia and Alabama was playing, and we're kind of hoping that it wouldn't turn out that Alabama would be in this national championship game. What are your thoughts? Notre Dame, Alabama. In my opinion, I wish Alabama wasn't there. I wish this would have been another scenario, but it's not. It's Notre Dame. It's Alabama. Kenny, what are your thoughts on Alabama actually making it to another national championship?
Well, they earned it. The rules are the rules. We talked about that last week, why Wisconsin shouldn't be in the Big Ten championship game, but that's the way everything is set up, so they're there. And I don't think Notre Dame gives a shooby-dooby about who they play. You know, they'll scout the daylights out of them and be prepared. I tend to agree with the Alabama secondary and linebacking core. They're probably going to be key to this thing. And Golston, you know, he didn't begin the season as a starter. He's not super seasoned. If the Alabama front four or, you know, run a few stunts and blitzes on him and badger him and get him out of his rhythm, Alabama's going to win this ball game. I'm kind of pulling for Notre Dame only because of Tyler Eifert and John Goodman, both recruits, and Tony Spring, excuse me. All three are recruits from Fort Wayne Dringer, and I know all three of those young men personally from their high school days and some of the coverage here in Fort Wayne. So, you know, you get a little bit of a homie going on there, and then Tyler turns out to be, you know, only the best tight end in the country. Gee, what a bummer. So you got to pull for Notre Dame, but you're exactly right. Defense is going to struggle slowing Alabama's offense down, too. So it's going to be a whale of a ball game, and I'm probably going to sit and watch that one from stem to stern.
Well, I tell you what, I'm excited to watch this game, and I'm always excited to see the national championship. And I agree with you, Kenny. I think Alabama did earn it, and perhaps BCS got it right this year. Obviously, I think you have at least one of the best teams playing for the national championships. Obviously, Notre Dame overcome a lot of adversity to get to where they're at. If Notre Dame can pull off a national championship, would you say that Notre Dame's dominance in college football is back?
Yeah, and Tom, I'm probably going to have to leave on this, so I will leave you with this nugget on Notre Dame. I don't think there's a question, because the way that Brian Kelly has set up his program for long-term success, Sherman Taitao will not be back after this year. There are some other important seniors who are leaving. But if you look at the way that they've recruited over recent years, if you look at the way that their offense is set up, they've got Golson as a redshirt freshman having the year he's had. Theo Riddick will graduate, but Sierra Wood could be coming back, and they have a veritable stable of running backs behind him. They have skill position players. They have offensive linemen, and most importantly, they have defensive depth across the board. They're going to be dangerous for a long time to come.
Well, absolutely, and fun fact here, Jimmy, because I already know the answer to this, but why exactly do you have to get off here?
Well, it's a holy day of obligation time today. It's December 8th. It's a big deal.
It's a big deal if you're a Catholic, which just, you know, I just thought that was a fun fact because we're talking about Notre Dame winning a national championship, and you have to jump off here because you have to go to Mass. So I understand how it is, brother. You could get up on time to go to Mass, but not to get on the show on time. But I just want you to know that we can send you to hell just as fast, just so you know. All right, brother.
I'll keep an eye on that.
You have a good Mass, brother, and make sure that you do your Hail Marys and your confessions and all that other stuff. And we don't want to hear about the confessions of the confessions of Jimmy the intern. All right, buddy. I'll keep that away from you.
That's good. Thanks so much for having me on, Tom.
All right. Thank you. Jimmy the intern, got to get to Mass. And guys, we're going to get to a break. And we get back on the other end of the break here. We're going to have Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, going to talk about the NFL kickoff. Is it to be or not to be? And also we're going to talk about the tragedy that unfolded last Saturday, unfortunately, during our show out in Kansas City as well. Kenny, are you still just riding along with us, or you got to go, or...?
Well, I don't know. Let me check with the chauffeur. How much time do I have? I got about 15 more minutes, she says.
All right. You can stay on as long as you want, and we're going to take a break, and we're going to jump right into our college football segment. Waiting in the wings is Mr. Ed Kratz from Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to be talking some NFL. Kickoff to be or not to be? We're going to find out right when we get back, right here on the Balance Radio Network.
The University of Notre Dame proudly presents its marching band, the Band of the Fighting Irish.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Here we go.
New 20! New 20!
Football. Catch the fever. The sport of kings.
And now let's talk some football.
All right, my minions, welcome back to the Balance Hour number two. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you could join us still, carrying over on his way up to Chicago, hanging out with us from Radio Speed Talk, Mr. Kenny Barr. Also joining us from Calkins Media, Mr. Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. Mr. Ed, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know what? You haven't been on since we started playing this song, and we want to know, can you do this dance, buddy? Can you do it?
I've never been a big dancer, Tom, I have to tell you. I missed the whole line dance phrase and the Scallion style. I'm just not on board with any of it, really.
I tell you, I don't know what it is about it, but it's gone viral and we're still running, guys. And make sure that Michelle, make sure you get that put up on the social media. Guys, send us your dance. We're gonna put it on our YouTube, our Balance YouTube channel, and we're gonna put that on there. You guys don't want to see me do it. All I know is you don't want to see me do it. We were up at Purdue a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking with Jimmy, the intern up there, and he said every college has this on their scoreboard, and somebody and they all break out into it. And we had Preston on from Kansas State, a student out there at Kansas State Jayhawks, last Saturday. It is true. Every college student we have on talks about this dance. So it is the dance craze. Well, apparently we're going to have to do that dance during the NFL, Ed, and I want to get you guys' thoughts on this because what normally would be kickoff, wait for it, hang time, oh, wait a minute, we're going to place it out at the 35 or the 40-yard line. No more kickoffs because of injuries in football. Holy crap, I didn't know that there was injuries in football. Ed, take it away. What are your thoughts on this?
On the kickoff, it's certainly an extreme solution to the concussion issues that the NFL has. I can certainly understand why they're looking at all sorts of different ways. So the NFL is being sued for billions of dollars because of this lawsuit several NFL and former NFL players have against them. So it sounds very extreme, though. I don't think this is the right way to do it. You're really altering the face of the game if you take away the kickoff and just have someone, I guess people are aware of what the rule suggestion is, and that's after a team scores a touchdown, they get the ball back at the 30-yard line, but they're in a 4th-and-15 situation, which I would think, most of the time a team is going to punt that ball away. And apparently punt returns don't, there's not as many violent collisions on a punt return as there is on a kickoff return, so I just think that just alters the face of the game way too dramatically. My solution has always been to let's just put leather helmets back on these guys. Let's come up with a nice new, design, a nice space age looking design, and make a leather helmet, take the face mask off the helmet, and, maybe guys will stop, using the helmet as a weapon out on that field.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's just, I've been saying that for years, is let's just take the face mask off of the helmets, make them wear the leather or some sort of, space-age design. You'll be able to see the players' faces. They won't be as inclined to stick their nose right in there rather than alter the rules of the game with this kickoff nonsense. And that's what I think it is. I think it's ridiculous.
Well, it's absolutely insane. And the thing about it is, I know I can understand what they're talking about. Two forces, big guys going full speed ahead. But let's face it, these big guys, by the time they meet midfield, are out of breath anyway. So
you and I would be out of breath. That's for sure.
I would be. That's true. Absolutely, you and I would be out of breath. I don't know about Kitty. Kitty Barr joining us from Radio Speed Talk. Normally, obviously, on the air with us for our Speed Talk show, but he's on his way. Road tripping it up to Chicago. He's got nothing else to do. He's not even driving. He's being chauffeured up to Chicago today. So he's gladly joined us into the conversation throughout the entire show. And a little fun fact about Kenny Barr is Kenny knows more about sports than just racing. And so he goes, my knowledge of sports goes past automobiles that turn right. So Kenny, what are your thoughts on this NFL kickoff return?
What direction do automobiles turn there, Tom? We go
right,
left.
Left, right. Your left, right. See, it tells you how much I know. I don't even know why I said right turns. I have been hanging around racetracks long enough. I should know what my left from my right. But, that I had that same problem in the military. So, I've never gotten over it.
I think you have Army Navy on the brain there, Tom.
I do. I do.
Army
absolutely.
Army Navy game on the brain. Yeah, that's the problem.
Absolutely. Go Army. Go ahead, Kenny.
Your military left and your civilian left are two different things too when we talk about an automobile. So
that's true.
I take the exact opposite approach. I think it's time to change the game up a little bit. Not only do I think this kickoff idea is kind of a good idea, they may have to moderate it a little bit, but I think they ought to take the extra point, throw that completely out of the game, and make them go for two every time, because the extra point is about the most boring play that God ever created for that game. So I understand the collisions and the concussions and the worries and stuff. It's been there the whole time. The medical advancements have finally gotten to the point where they realize that these guys are bashing their brains out every once in a while. They're getting their bells rung because of the collisions, because the players are harder, they're faster, they're stronger, and they don't mind using their body as a weapon and the helmet as a weapon. But I think they need to do something a little bit different. Either that or quit whining about playing a game that you know is inherently dangerous and then quit trying to sue somebody because you made a big pile of money when you did it, and then you blame the game that you elected to play because you knew it was dangerous to begin with and throw the lawsuits out and stuff. So, you know, if, you know, it's like playing with fire. You know it might happen to you, your baby.
Well, here's, I guess, what you got to look at. Obviously, eliminating the kickoff would increase the value of punters and punt returners and punt coverage specialists, I guess. But kick return specialists would disappear like dinosaurs have. And, you know, and I understand maybe where it all came from. You know, I think it came from the idea of Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach Greg Schiavone, and I apologize if I've said that right. Who was Eric Legard's college coach at Rutgers when he was paralyzed by a collision during a kickoff return. And that's a sad thing that that happened, guys. And, you know, unfortunately, we can look at other events that have happened in other sports and football as well. Football is a high-impact sport. It is a sport where a lot of physical damage can happen. There's a reason they're out there on that field with all of that protective gear on. Accidents do happen. I'm just wondering, do they happen enough to warrant this? And my question to you on this, Ed, Roger Goodell, you know, I'm not a big bandwagon kind of guy. You know, Roger Goodell's position, whether it's him or whoever it might be, has to be a very political job. And let's face it, his favorites are going to have to be the team owners, obviously. So he's going to have to kind of follow their lead. And a lot of times we like to throw the commissioner underneath the bus and say, oh, well, you know, the commissioner's doing this and the commissioner's doing this. But let's look at the tenure of Roger Goodell, Ed, and this is why I want to approach this question to you, because you certainly have a lot of history and experience with Roger Goodell going back over the years and following the NFL. Roger Goodell always seems to be in the midst of some of the most controversial things surrounding the NFL. Is this just another one of those things?
Well, you're right. He does seem to have a lot of issues that have cropped up under his watch here on the NFL. But I think it's just the natural evolution of the game, kind of what Kenny alluded to earlier there, that, you know, the NFL is an evolving game, and you know, as training techniques become, you know, more intense, and a lot more is learned about how to train and, you know, nutrition and that sort of thing, you know, your athletes are going to continue to get, you know, faster and quicker and bigger and stronger. And I really think a lot of this whole issue about kickoff stems from the lawsuit that right now is being looked at by some of these former players. And you know, a lot wasn't known about concussions back in the day. And, you know, clearly it's an issue now when you look 10 years, 15, 20 years down the road with some of these former players who are now experiencing depression. You know, that has sort of been linked to concussions now through some studies that are being done at Boston University by teams of doctors there. And, I just think that that's really at the forefront of all the decisions that are being looked at or suggestions that are being looked at with regards to the kickoff, because that is, you know, full-speed collisions in the open field. And, it was Greg Schiano, the Tampa Bay coach, who did coach LeGrand at Rutgers before he moved to Tampa Bay. I could certainly understand where he's coming from on this. And but I think you really need to, you know, you have to have some sense here. I think you're almost turning it, if you go with this rule where you put it at the 30-yard line and make it 4th and 15, I just think it becomes almost like a high school all-star game where, you know, I've seen high school all-star games where a team falls behind by more than 2 touchdowns and they get the ball back after they score, you know, to give them a chance to get back in it. And, you know, I think if you see a team that's down by, you know, 4 touchdowns and they score, they'll go for it on 4th and 15, you know, and see if they can keep the ball and, you know, maybe keep coming back. So I could almost see them maybe putting the ball at the 20-yard line and just eliminating the kickoff and just letting the other team who gives up the touchdown, then they get the ball at the 20 and 1st and 10 from there. But, you know, I just think Goodell has, you know, he's dealing with a time period right now in the NFL where he has to look at this concussion. Every proposal out there he has to look at, not only because, you know, he wants to go to court when these lawsuits come down and say, look, we're doing all we can not much was known back in the 80s, 90s, you know, 70s, you know, all the way back then about concussions. And now we know more about them, and we're doing everything we can to make our game safer and to protect these players. You know, like I said, I think the helmet really needs to be looked at. I don't think you can make a better helmet to protect against concussions, but I think if you took the helmet away, you wouldn't have players going in there head first and bleeding with their head and all these illegal hits to the head. I just think that might be the way to go.
Well, we talk about this, and you mentioned depression, which is kind of a segue into the next topic I wanted to talk with you. Obviously, during our show last week, and it just kind of unraveled, unfortunately, during this show, that the Kansas City Chiefs murders, suicide, obviously, by Javon
Belcher,
there it is. I'm sorry, yeah. And I was texting you and other people around as this was going on. You know, we're trying to link this into the whole concussion thing. As much as I understand that as a NFL team, you have to do a PR thing. This happened at your stadium. You have to do a PR thing. But some of the things that have been going around social media and bloggers and stuff is, guys, hey, let's stop here for a minute. We are just bringing this guy up as if he was some innocent guy standing by that maybe got killed in a car accident or some tragic robbery that he was trying to save, something tragic. He's a murderer. He killed a girl. He killed his – now a child has no parents, no mother, no father. He killed a girl. Let's not lose sight of the fact that an NFL player is a murderer. We do not need – now, I'm not jumping on the Bob Costas fan about gun control and all that, because anybody that knows me, I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe I should have rights to own my gun and protect my family. But at some point, there has to come to a realization that you had a guy kill his girlfriend. Happens all over the United States every day of the week. Doesn't get the kind of attention this happened. This murderer happened to be an NFL player. Let's not put him up on the scoreboard as if he's the same player from the Arizona Cardinals example that got killed in Afghanistan defending his country. Let's not put him on the same level as that. It's a tragic thing that happened. So Ed, now we look at all of this stuff with the rules in kickoff. Granted, he wasn't on the kickoff return team, but you look at the concussions, and now everybody's trying to link all of this stuff together, and people are out there killing themselves, and they're killing other people now all because of concussions. Let's slow down and look at what happened here. He got in an argument. He could not control himself. He killed his girlfriend, the mother of his child, and he couldn't be a man and face up to that. He had to kill himself. Let's look at the fact that he is a murderer. Ed?
I agree with everything you said there. You can't just say, well, he it was too many hits to the head that caused him to do this. I mean, you don't know what horror lives inside of a human being. And, you do need to slow down. It's only been a week now, and I don't think anyone will ever know exactly why he did that. But like you said, this stuff goes on outside the NFL, it goes on everywhere across the world. And, and who knows why in a lot of these cases, domestic abuse is a big issue out there. And, you can't just say, well, it's because he had, a concussion or something when he was in high school, or too many hits to the head because he's been playing football since he was 5 or 6 years old. You cannot make that link, especially now, unless you study his brain, unless you have an autopsy and you send his brain to this team of doctors I mentioned earlier at Boston University, who, a lot of these former NFL players that are committing suicide when they're, in their 40s or 50s, just shooting themselves because they're depressed. They're studying these players' brain. Look at Junior Seau, the former Chargers linebacker last year, 2 years ago now. Time flies, but they sent his brain. I'm not sure where it stood, but initially the family of Junior Seau was going to send his brain to be studied by this team of doctors, and then I heard they were having second thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where it ever went, but Javon Belcher was just. You cannot make that link that football was the reason he did this. I mean, that would just be ridiculous.
Absolutely.
I say that, and it's only been a week, so you don't know, but I'm not sure we'll ever know, no matter how many weeks go by.
Absolutely. And, Kenny, I want to get your thought on this. And I know in your real world and your capacity of what you do in the real world, you do granted, you don't work with athletes, but you do work with military personnel. You do work with a lot of people who with alcoholism and various different emotional issues that you get to see on a daily basis through counseling sessions, through different sessions, people trying to work out their problems. From your aspect, Kenny, when you look at this from a professional aspect of what you do in the real world, talk to us about what goes through a person's mind for this kind of a tragedy.
Well, if we knew that, we could stop half of them and stuff. It's really tough. The brain is probably the most misunderstood body part that we have. I got a brother-in-law who is a he's got a doctorate in some sort of studies, and at one time he was studying the brain and cerebral problems and things, and then it just got it's just amazingly mysterious. On our side of the world, when a guy has suicidal tendencies or thoughts, the first thing you do is you pray that he talks about it with you, to somebody, so you can work through the problem to see what the root cause is and see what's going on inside his head, if you can help him at all. Obviously, this guy in Kansas City didn't do that. He had something click, and he shot his girlfriend and couldn't take it and shot himself. And this may sound kind of rude and callous, but I'm kind of glad he did it, because now we don't have to worry about housing him and trying him and paying to give him three squares and a cot for the next 35 or 40 years. He did everybody a big fat favor. Yeah, we probably need to know why, if we could ever figure out why, but doing an autopsy on his brain is a great idea. Now, maybe they can glean some information out of there, but that's a tough, tough nut to crack. And on a daily basis, Tracy and I talk to guys. Sometimes they're in a great mood. Sometimes they're so way out in left field that you don't know why. And it could be medication. It could be experience. It could be flashbacks. It's really, really tough. You know, maybe this kid had a history of doing a little bit of dope and it tossed his brains into a pile of mush for a while. You just flat don't know. It's a tough one, Tom, to really put a finger on.
Well, you know, we look at some of the police reports this past week that have been released, and I guess, you know, and here's the other thing, Cassandra, and we talk about the girlfriend as the girlfriend. Okay, he killed his girlfriend. I mean, he killed Cassandra Perkins. She has a name, you know, and just like Javon Belcher has a name. Cassandra Perkins has a name. He killed Cassandra Perkins. And I like some of the stories that we've seen that we haven't heard her name. But basically, you know, they got into a heated argument. We don't really know what the argument was about. We may never know. And he did, in fact, kill her. He drove to the Arrowhead Stadium. He talked to coaches, personnel. And he just kept repeating these things. And this was from the police report. He said, "I did it, I did it. I killed her, I did it." Belcher shot himself one time in the head, according to the police report, and then he was transported to area hospital where he did die from his injuries. So the thing is, this man was very conscious of what he did. I don't know if this was linked to football, but where my problem is, and the point that I want to make here, Ed and guys in our very limited time left here, is – As much as we want to say, you know, we lost an NFL player, a promising NFL player at that, you know, and maybe it's easy for us to sit back and say, why didn't you just walk away or break up with her? I mean, you're an NFL football player. You could have any woman in the world. You don't need her at the end of the day, and you're certainly not the only NFL player that has to pay child support or pay alimony or pay. I don't know what the whole fight was about. But my point is, I don't know that we could say that, oh, well, we lost a great football player. Let's pay him homage. You know, there was even talk about postponing that game. And you looked at that game on Sunday, obviously had a lot of media attention, so a lot of people were there covering that, and they did live cut-ins. You would have thought that he was not a murderer. You would have thought that, you know, this was just a tragic freak thing of life. and we're paying respect to him and naming Javon Belcher's name all week long as a victim here. Let's say this person's name again. Teresa Perkins. I mean, I'm sorry, Cassandra Perkins. Let's use her name. We know who Javon Belcher was. The thing is, Javon Belcher had a life. Javon Belcher had established himself and established a future. He killed a 22-year-old girl and, you know, left a child without their parents. Let's put that in perspective, Ed.
Yeah, well, it's a tragedy all the way around, especially for the poor baby that is left behind. I saw a statement that was released by Cassandra Perkins' mom, I believe, who, you know, asked that people respect their privacy and pray for Cassandra. But, you know, God bless her. She also said, you know, and keep the Belcher family in your prayers, too, because, you know, he left behind family, too, and, you know, parents. And, you know, who knows exactly why he did that. You know, he did it. But, you see players, professional players in all sports, you know, abuse their wives or girlfriends or whatever. They physically hit them. It never comes down to a killing, or I shouldn't say never, but, you know, rarely does it come down to a killing. But you see abuse of, you know, domestic abuse and violence in the professional sporting world and outside the professional sporting world. You know, a lot of it has to do with how you're raised and the situation that you're put in, you know, from a young age and what you see around you. And, you know, I don't know what Javon Belcher had in his past that would lead him down this terrible road, or, you know, and it's unfortunate that Cassandra Perkins got caught up in, you know, in that life. And, you know, any of us that have children out there, you always pray that they're in the right place at the right time. And, you know, it's unfortunate that Cassandra was not.
Right, absolutely. Well, guys, unfortunately, we have come to the end of our segment, and we appreciate Ed Kratz of Calkins Media joining us. Ed, are you ready for Christmas? You have all your shopping done.
Oh, boy, I wish. I'm still waiting on your list. I haven't gotten a list from you yet, Tom, although I think I kind of know what that is. I know you had a birthday not too long ago, back in October.
That's right.
You shared with me one of your presents.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I still have miles to go. And, you know, this Eagles situation isn't helping. You know, they really keep you jumping here. So.
Oh, I can only imagine. Well, just think about it this way. Your Eagles schedule is going to get very light here in the next few weeks.
I don't know. I mean, you've got to keep an eye out for Andy Reid and, you know, what's going to happen to him. And then you have the coaching search probably. And, you know, which players are going to come and which are going to go. There's going to be a lot of them that are going to go, I'll tell you that.
Well, and obviously we'll get into that whole Michael Vick conversation here a little bit later. Where can people find your work and your masterpieces at, Kenny? I mean, Ed?
Well, you can online. I'm at www.phillyburbs.com, and you can go through the links to find the Eagles coverage there. And then on Twitter, it's KRAC as in cat, Z as in zebra, at E. At Kratz. That's all social media thing. I'm still trying to piece it together as I go along. So.
I totally understand. Well, you're always welcome here. Kenny Barr headed up to Chicago. Going to spend some time at Trump Tower today. Going to be doing some shopping, are you?
No, I'm not doing any Christmas shopping. See, I live by the Mayan calendar, Tom, and I'm waiting until December 22nd. If I wake up and the earth has a dip, then I'm going to go do some Christmas shopping and put in my retirement account.
All right. Well, you have a good day in Chicago. Are you gonna be watching the game, Kenny, at all? The Army Navy game?
I don't know what they're gonna let me do. Once I get to Chicago, I hand the keys off to the elder son and say, "Okay, I'm here for the day or two, and then we do whatever they tell me to do."
Absolutely. All right, Ed, you have yourself a good day. Guys, we're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to talk some NBA, and we're going to talk some Colts. Ed, you're more than welcome to stay around. I know that you said that you had to boogie. You had a short window with us today. So you want to stay, or do you got to go?
Well, I got to hop a plane to Tampa here in about 3 hours, so I got to get to the airport.
All right, buddy. Enjoy your
All right.
Enjoy your time. Have a safe flight, and thanks for joining
us
today.
All right. Thank you.
Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, obviously talking about the kickoff return rule change in the tragedy out in Kansas City. And we also want to thank Kitty Barr for joining us right around the corner, though, guys. We're going to be breaking down the Colts game. We talk a little bit of Pacers and fantasy football huddle. And standing in the wings now is Mr. Sparky. That's right. Sparky's back. We'll be back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Down on the ground. She don't lie, she don't lie, she don't lie. Cocaine. But it's really stuff.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. March, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
All right, my minions, welcome back to the final segment of the show. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Yes, we have had a great show today. I promise you that I will never let you down at all. Great conversation with Ed Kratz about the tragedy out in Kansas City last week and talking about that. And also the kickoff return rule being changed. Kitty Barr joining us for the full hour, talking about racing IndyCar what's going on with IndyCar in 2013. But joining us now, on his way to Indianapolis, the man, the one, the only, Sparky! Sparky, how we doing, sir?
Good. How you doing today?
I'm fine. Thanks for noticing me. What's going on, my friend? I tell you, we have not been able to connect. I know you were trying to connect with us when we were out at Purdue. We had some major technical difficulties, and certainly want to forget about that. But how's the drive coming out here to Indianapolis? Obviously, you're en route here to Indianapolis. It's the Titans. It's the Colts tomorrow. What a season that we're having with the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, man, isn't it great? I mean, I really haven't ever felt like we were behind in any game, and you feel that same way when you had Peyton Manning, and you never felt like, regardless of the score, unless it's some kind of blowout, we're getting our butts handed to us, that we're never really behind, and I've never felt that this year at all. And I watch other games, and you kind of root for other teams, and you're like, they get two scores down, and they ain't gonna come back, and they don't come back. But it's like, you always feel like you can come back with Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, no matter what game you're in.
Well, what a fantastic game that was. And you know what? I had a rare, I don't know what we want to call it, a 24-hour flu bug or what it was, but I spent the entire game in bed. All right, we'll call it a hangover. All right, you caught me. No, I spent the entire afternoon in bed watching that Lions game, and I fell asleep through part of it. But I woke up for the end, and that was the most important part of that game. Andrew Luck did not stop. And I tell you what, it reminded me of the days gone by with one number 18. And, actually people are having this conversation. I am not necessarily a part of that conversation, but people are actually having the conversation. Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, MVP, one of the two of them. I don't think Andrew Luck is ready for an MVP. But I do know that he's, in my opinion, he's all but sealed up Rookie of the Year. I do think that Peyton Manning could get the MVP. Look at what he's done. Let's talk about that, Sparky. Do you feel like the days of gone by have now come back?
Yeah, you know, as far as the Rookie of the Year, I mean, I really think that he has that wrapped up. I mean, look at the numbers. Look at what, you know, he's done for the team. I mean, but it's not only him. I mean, it's everybody else around him. We have a young team, and they're all playing their butts off, and it's just amazing how he goes out there, and he doesn't even look like a rookie. He looks like, you know, a 3-4-year veteran that's in his prime. And, you know, the only problem we have is, you know, playing on the road. But now that we got over that hump last weekend, and, you know, that Detroit Dome is, I mean, that's one of the loudest places in, you know, the NFL. You got over that hump, now it's just, you know, endless possibilities. And as far as MVP goes, I mean, I think he's right up there in the conversation with, you know, as far as MVP goes. And, you know, you got to watch the next, you know, this game and the next one is going to be, I think, the determining factor. I mean, if he plays excellent, you know, 3-4 touchdowns a game, you know, 300-plus yards, definitely that last game we're going to be chanting MVP.
Well, what a fantastic that would be. You know, I don't see – I've never seen a rookie get an MVP, but, you know, I don't know that I want to get into that conversation, but certainly Rookie of the Year. And I don't know about you, and I will be the first one to admit I still got a little bit of this humble pie left here on my desk. But I was not on board with Andrew Luck. So you can say that I'm a bandwagon guy. Well, maybe I am. Maybe I have to be because I'm a Colts fan. I love the Colts, and I love to see them win. But I was an RG3 guy. Now, we look at the first time in a long time, two rookies, possibility, two number one draft, well, we won't call them number one. Well, they're both number one draft picks, but you know what I mean. We got Luck and you got Griffin. And it came down to one of those two being the number one. And it came down to the Heisman pick. And then, of course, we got a Heisman deal tonight. We didn't get into much conversation with that. RG3, Andrew Luck, does RG3 have what it takes to become Rookie of the Year?
I don't believe that he does because, you know, the numbers just ain't there. I mean, that guy just has unbelievable talent, and, you know, he just plays the quarterback as a different position. I mean, I kind of compared him to, like, Michael Vick, and, you know, he plays the position like Michael Vick, but really he doesn't even play the position like Michael Vick. He just takes it to a totally different level. But because he plays that like that, you know, I don't think his longevity in the NFL is going to be there. I mean, I see him as, like, I mean, I've always said it from the beginning, even before he was drafted, he's going to be awesome this year. Next year, he's going to kind of fall off maybe a little bit. Third year, you ain't really going to hear anything out of him. Fourth, fifth year, you know, he might be backup. You know, by the time his fifth, sixth year comes around, we're going to forget about him. You know, he's going to be a has-was. And, you know, I really do believe that. You know, as long as I see that's going to happen if he doesn't hurt himself by then.
Well, and you know what? Yeah, we can look at both of this. I mean, you look at the knee injury that Luck has been nursing around. And I know that's been hush-hush, but that could happen to anybody. Let's talk about this Colts game tomorrow because I want to get into some fantasy football with you. And I know that you're driving through the backwoods of BFE to get to Indianapolis. They haven't been in interstates, though, that do have continuous cell coverage. I just wanted you to know that, Spark.
this is Illinois, though. This ain't Indiana.
well, that's right, because, you know, of all the cell phone towers, you know, that could be there, the corrupt government regulations in Illinois to elect one president. Well, we won't get into that. This is a sports talk show. But you're headed here, Lucas Oil Stadium, obviously indoors, turf, so weather's not going to be a major issue. Probably the roof's going to be closed tomorrow, one would expect so. And the spread looks at the Colts are at 5, Colts by 5.5. Now we look at the record. The Colts are at 8-4. They're 2-1 in the AFC South. The Titans are at 4-8 AFC. They're 0-4. Now let's look at this AFC picture. If we win today and we beat the Texans one of the two meetings to go, we're all but assured in the playoffs, and maybe not even a wild card spot, but definitely a wild card spot. What are your thoughts?
I definitely believe. I mean, we're definitely in the playoffs. I mean, you can't just blow these last three games. But I think tomorrow's going to be a win. I mean, I don't ever I look at the point spreads and stuff, and I don't get how they determine the points and all that. And when I pick a game, I look at the facts, and the fact is that we're awesome at home. I mean, we're flat out just. You can't beat us at home. I mean, Jags beat us, and that was the last play. But that whole game, that should have been ours to begin with. So, I mean, I'm not even going to talk about that. But, I don't see why it's only 5 points. I believe that we could probably win by 21. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we won by 21 or 24 points tomorrow. And, I believe that we're going to be in the playoffs. We're going to be in the playoffs. I mean, I think we'll take two out of the next three games. We'll take one of the Texas games, and we'll be there. We'll definitely be there, and we're not just going to be a fluke. I mean, we're going to go in there, and we're going to play our butts off, and we might make it to the next round. Might make it to the next round, maybe the divisional. And I mean, I don't see why we can't go to the Super Bowl. I mean, this team is good enough, and there really isn't no dominant team out there that really is like the clear-cut, favorites to win it all. Maybe the Falcons, but, I mean, they just seem like, they're on and off too, because, I mean, look at how many games that they've won by just a couple points. So, I mean, there's not really no dominant football team right now, this year. And, so why can't we be in the Super Bowl talks? Why can't we be talked about?
Well, here's the thing. I think you've been wearing that costume too much, and that the heat from that costume's got up into your brain. There is no way you're going to jinx us right now, Mr. Sparky, by saying anything about the Colts going to the Super Bowl. It's not going to happen. We got to get. There's no way that we're going to put.
I'm saying.
You look at the Broncos. You look
I'm not saying yes. It's going to happen. I'm saying we have a chance. We have a chance just like any other chance of any other team that makes it in the playoffs. As long as you get look at the Giants. As long as the Giants make the playoffs, they're contenders.
I'm
saying.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. If we get to the Super Bowl, and I'm going to make a bet here with you, because here's what's got to happen, and this is why I think this is a safe bet. I think that in order for us to get to the Super Bowl, we have to beat the Texans, we have to beat the Broncos, but my God, what a story that would be. Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, AFC Championship game. Who's it going to
be?
It's a showdown at noon. Who's it going to be? But I'm going to make this bet for you. We're not even going to call the playoff games. I don't care who they play. If they get to the Super Bowl, they don't even have to win. Monument Circle, one of us will be downtown on Monument Circle, video recorded on YouTube, doing this.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam.
So there you have it. The bet is out there, Sparky. Do you accept? If we get to the Super Bowl, And the Colts are in the Super Bowl, I will get out there. I will let you design my costume. I will get out there on Monument Circle with loudspeakers, and I will do the... If, on the other hand, does not happen, you will be out there on Monument Circle doing... Do you accept the challenge? Do you accept the challenge, Sparky?
As long as I can make it that weekend, yes.
And you know what? It won't even have to be that weekend. It can be any weekend. We will be in costume, one of us, and I'm going to let you design my costume for me. I will wear whatever hideous costume you put together for me if we get to the Super Bowl. See, I'm kind of thinking that I'm going to get to watch you, 7-foot green bean giant, out there doing the... and you can even incorporate all your minions, and you can incorporate Mike, you can incorporate, but you, yeah, at least you are going to be out there on Monument Circle doing the dance, brother, doing the dance.
I'm just saying. You know what? All jokes aside, though,
sir.
I'll do it. But all jokes aside, we make the playoffs.
It's the Super Bowl. That's the if we make the playoffs, I am not getting out there doing that dance.
What I'm saying, all jokes aside, if we make the playoffs, how crazy is it really that we make the playoffs after the year that we had last year? And we got Andrew Luck, but did you ever think that we'd be this good right now, in the first year back? I mean, it's amazing the talent that, Gregson and Ursay, can lay down on the table for the Colts. And it's just amazing. And, we're this good right now in the first season with all these rookies. Imagine 2, 3, 4 years down the road, we're going to be dominant. We are going to be, We're going to be talking about, is this the season that we're going to go undefeated, or are you thinking we'll be next? I mean, I really think that that's going to be the talk in, 3 or 4 years down the road, because we're this dominant right now with this many rookies, and this one, we have this much talent. And we look at the cap space that we have next year. Players are going to want to come play for us because we are the team. We're the young team, the talented team, and we're already in the playoffs, I'm not going to jinx this, but what I'm saying. We're this good right now. It's just unbelievable.
Well, all I can tell you is it's been social media. Okay, we are going to build this up. One of us is going to be out there on Monument Circle doing the gang hype. Okay, and if I'm out there, I am a man of my word, and we broadcast. It's out there on the social media right now. If they get to the Super Bowl, I will dress up in a costume you design, and I will do the gang hi. All right?
The gangman? You mean not the gang hi, it's gangman?
Whatever it is. If I get beat up by...
You don't even know what the hell it is. It's hey, gangman style.
I don't know. It sounds like condom style to me. I don't know. Whatever. Condom style, gang... style, I don't care. Probably get arrested.
If it's condom style, I'm going to buy a big body condom that you can wear out there. You can do it.
I will do it in a big body condom. I'm going to let you design it. But the kicker is they have to get to the Super Bowl. So I think right now I'm completely safe. I think I'm going to be out there filming you, paying a bet to me, big 7-foot Jolly Green Giant, out there doing the gangheim. Gangheim. Condomheim. All right, well, let's move on. Let's get into some fantasy football. Hello, guys. It's playoff season. Playoffs. Playoffs. You know what? I got to play it, and I had it already here, and I swear I had it already. But man, I had it right here, dude. Man, well, we'll get back to it. Somebody's playing with my board again, but I will get that sound bites going and playoffs. But it is time for some fantasy football. Hello.
Welcome back.
It's about to be a lot of fun today.
Weather's been nice down here, huh?
Yeah, it has been. You know, it's
beautiful.
This is. You know, it was chilly last Sunday. It was chillier last Sunday. Absolutely. But it's been nice.
There ain't no 50 degree right here now.
Well, they get this place cold before the game, don't they?
It was cold.
It's 22 degrees out. It's bleeding.
So much for no rain, huh?
Coming down now.
Now stay warm over here. Hey, stay warm over here now.
It's cold. It's raining.
Brad, this wind is stronger than we've.
He made it that way.
Alrighty, welcome back to the balance, guys. It is time for the Fantasy Football Huddle. We're getting you ready for playoffs. Playoffs? That's right, we can talk about playoffs in the Fantasy Football Arena. And we're going to just kind of go through this Fantasy Football. We only got about 10 minutes. And we will break down your fantasy lineup. If you got a question on your fantasy football, feel free to give us a call, 917-889-8516, or tweet us your question, T-Balance, on your fantasy football lineups. All right, Mr. Sparky, we're two fantasy football playoffs. Obviously, we know that you're so busy planning to take over the world. Remember Pinky the Brain? What are we going to do tonight? We're going to take over the world. Well, I know you've been busy. I know you've been busy trying to take over the world, but it is time for Fantasy Football Huddle. So let's get into some of the matchups that are going on here. We keep going back and bouncing back to Eli Manning, Little Manning, as I like to affectionately call him. And we know that there's one person here on the Balance network that loves Eli Manning and has just played him all the way through, but she's not in the playoffs. Let's talk about Eli Manning versus New Orleans. Manning played better than his 17-point fantasy stat line would suggest on Monday night, as the Giants' ability to muster drive killing penalties as a major factor in limiting his numbers. He should be able to get back in your good graces at home. Guys, if you have Eli Manning against New Orleans, I would go ahead and start him. This is a good opportunity for you to play Eli Manning if you manage to get into the playoffs with him. Sparky, Eli Manning, New Orleans, what are your thoughts?
Are they playing in New Orleans?
No, they're playing at home, I believe.
At home? They'd definitely take Eli Manning at home. I mean, the Saints, you know, they're just a team that I don't think that you can really figure them out. You know, say if they want to be good or not be good this year. And, you know, their offense is always going to be explosive, but they're just now starting to come back and starting to do something. But, I mean, that defense, I think that defense still, you know, it needs help. And I think, you know, that's probably going to be a shootout, high-scoring game. So I could see Eli – I could actually see both of the quarterbacks actually throw for about 400 yards against each other. But that, you know, being at home with, you know, the Giants, so the defense, I mean, they could, you know, hold – I believe they'll probably hold, you know, Drew Brees to under 300 yards, but I still believe he'll probably have about four touchdowns. But I believe Eli will prevail and have a huge win.
Well, and he's due. I mean, and again, when we talk about fantasy football, we're completely separated in his real ability on the field. We talk about the points that he can score you as a fantasy football quarterback. So when we say it's not a favorable matchup, we're not saying that Eli Manning sucks as a quarterback. We're just saying that he sucks as a fantasy quarterback. Josh Freeman, Tampa Bay versus the Eagles. Obviously, this is a great matchup for Josh Freeman. The Eagles have been dominated by opposing quarterbacks recently. We just had Ed Calkins on, and we didn't even talk about the Eagles. They're that bad. We're not even talking about the Eagles. And they've allowed 38 fantasy points per game over the last 3 weeks. For the season, they are considered the third-best matchup a quarterback can have. Guys, if you have Josh Freeman with Tampa Bay, just freaking play him. Even if you're not in the playoffs, just play him just because I said so. My God, Tampa Bay. You got Josh Freeman, really, if you look at it, against Michael Vick or whoever Philadelphia decides to play. Oh, it ain't going to be Michael Vick. It ain't going to be Michael Vick again. Michael Vick is done at the Eagles. Sparky?
Yeah, I would take any opposing quarterback against the Eagles. The Eagles, I mean, when you let go of someone like Badman, who was an All-Pro last year, I mean, you know that team is having problems. I mean, that's a definite no-brainer. I would take any quarterback against that defense. And, you know, he's also going up against an offense that has Napoleon Dynamite as the quarterback. And, you know, even though I kind of like the guy, but, you know, he's not Michael Vick, and he's not going to, you know, he's not explosive as him. But, you know, I would take any quarterback against. I'd take any. I may even take some college teams, Andrew Luck, against that defense. And, you know, I mean, that team, I can't believe that they're this bad. Unbelievable.
You'll take some college teams, Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck.
I love that. That's classic, dude. So we won't even talk about who's going to win the Heisman Trophy tonight. Absolutely. Well, let's you know, we want to talk, obviously, we always want to kind of include some in our favorable matchups, the Colts players. And I'm looking at a very favorable matchup for Ballard in this week against Tennessee. I mean, I think Ballard looks a lot better this week. This week heading against Detroit, leading the Indianapolis backfield with 9 carries for 41 yards and a touchdown. His backfield partner in crime, Donald Brown, is out. So that said, you have to realize that Vic Ballard's going to have a big, big game against the Titans. And I certainly would play Vic Ballard in this matchup against Tennessee, Sparky.
Yeah, I would definitely play him, too. I mean, I believe he's going to have at least 2 touchdowns. Definitely. You know, if you get down in the red zone, he's going to punch one in. And, you know, that Titans defense, I haven't really been following them. I don't really know how they're doing, but I mean, we're at home, and that's all that matters. And we always play tough at home. And I'm expecting at least 35 points by the Colts. And I think Ballard's going to be a big part of that.
Well, you know what? I wish we had some more time, but we're down to the clock. We're up against the clock, and we are looking at the Heisman Trophy debate tonight. It'll be settled. But Colin Klein, Johnny Mazel, Amante Tio, I want to know from you, outside of Andrew Luck, which one of those guys, and you look at this, I like Texas A&M. There's a little hit for you, quarterback Johnny Manziel will be the first. There is no debate here. Johnny Manziel, quarterback Johnny at Texas A&M, and you look at what he's been able to do this year. He's a clear, clear choice for the Heisman Trophy. Would you agree or disagree, Andrew? I mean, oh, I love it. Yes. Sparky, would you agree or not disagree? You can't say Andrew Luck.
But I have watched Notre Dame, and I think Matthew Taylor is pretty good. And I don't think he's a NFL caliber player, but I think he's probably a leading candidate. Even though, I mean, I don't watch college, so you can't, you know, really take my advice on any of that, Andrew Luck.
There's too much on your plate to watch college,
yeah.
But that's for sure. Well, we're
quick. I can't keep up with the NFL. So.
Real quickly, I'm going to let you go ahead and go on a rant. I'm going to turn you loose here for about 30 to 45 seconds, and you go, sir.
What is Roger Goodell thinking, taking away kickoffs? I know that this is a violent, you know, part of the aspect of the game and everything, but, I mean, come on. You know, you can start taking away kickoffs, and you start taking away the punts. Why don't we just put a red shirt on the quarterbacks, take off all the pads, and start, you know, playing with belts and yellow little flags in them? You know, I mean, it's getting ridiculous. You know, I mean, I know they're about player safety, but, I mean, come on. It has to come down to, you know, enough is enough. And as Mike Ditka would say, stop it.
Stop it. All right, well, real quickly, Sparky, where can people find you at? Down at Lucas Oil and on Facebook. Real quickly, we're running out of time.
Facebook, Sparky, Super Colts fan, Brian Jensen, Jensen, resident in Indianapolis or Dixon, Illinois, and I'm down usually hanging out at the Grill, Colts Grill, downtown Kitty Corner from the Circle Center Mall.
And coming soon, Monument Circle doing the Gang Hive. Guys, that's going to do it for us this week. Remember, don't drink and drive. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. And remember, the bet between me and Sparky is a real bet. 하지만 웬 많은 노출보다 약한 여자 그런 감각적인 여자 나는 선어해 점잖아 보이지만 놀 땐 노는 선어해 내가 되면 완전 미쳐버리는 선어해 근육보다 사상이 울퉁불퉁한 선어해 그런 선어해
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.